Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by JackThreads.com. JackThreads provides a stress-free way to shop a curated selection of men's clothes at a great price. For 20% off your order, visit JackThreads.com/Android and enter code Android at checkout. And by LittleBits, the easy way to build electronics with modular building blocks. Go to LittleBits.com/Android and you'll receive $20 off your first kit, plus free shipping in the U.S. And by LegalZoom, protect your family with a last will or living trust today. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but can connect you with an independent attorney. Visit LegalZoom.com and use offer code AAA in the referral box at checkout for your special discount. Welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 226, recorded Tuesday, August 11th, 2015. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
Hey.
Hey. So I've got big news.
What's up?
What? Whoa, off the top.
I'm now a holding company for all of the podcasts underneath me.
Do you own me?
I own you, and iFanboy's another one, and so, yeah.
Okay. Have you talked to Leo about this?
I've changed my name. No.
Does Leo know about this? Okay, all right.
That's a tease.
You may or may not have heard what we're talking about, and you will find out probably the first story that we talk about. Before that, we have to introduce not one, but two amazing guests this week. First, welcoming back Matteo Doni. This time... Skyscanner, but really, what is it? CoolSmartphone.com, right? What is CoolSmartphone.com?
So CoolSmartphone.com is a tech blog, UK-based, of some mobile enthusiasts who write articles in their spare time about the awesome things in tech.
Wait a minute.
So
I've never heard of this. Mobile... Is this tech blogging? News writing?
It's the new big thing.
I've heard it's
the new big thing on that thing called the internet.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Nice.
And so it's just our opinions, our thoughts, reviews, breaking news, some leaks of what goes on in the wonderful world of consumer electronics.
And food.
And occasionally pictures of my lunch.
Okay.
As you're showing now.
Nothing wrong with that. Never be ashamed.
What are we looking at there? Is that like chicken strips or fish or what was that?
Shrimp.
Sorry, I've got a camera right in the middle of my view here.
Well, I was going to say, you can tell who's got the two small children with the chicken strips.
It's true.
Yeah, so that Guilty. Was my lunch yesterday here in Singapore, where I'm calling you from on
Yeah,
Skype,
I was going to say, you're in Singapore, not in the UK, so it's really becoming where in the world is Matteo, because it's having a hard time keeping track of you, man. You're all over the globe.
This so far on All About Android, we've been... on from the UK, Barcelona, and Singapore. If at some point in the future I'm in our Shenzhen office, as I will be next week, we could have poker going here.
Fantastic.
That would be awesome.
Cool.
We'll have to make that work. Well, it's great to have you, Matteo. It's also awesome to welcome back to the show Russell Hawley of Android Central. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine.
Fantastic. Do you have Alphabet on the mind, would you say?
No, not at all.
Man, we've got a lot to talk about because I'm still kind of wrapping my head around this. Alphabet, of course, which we're going to talk about here in a second. We've got security updates. The OnePlus 2 that is now officially on sale, kind of, sort of.
Sort of.
As that's how OnePlus does things. Hangouts, much anticipated 4.0 update. More Apple apps possibly coming to Android. And a whole lot more. But let's jump to Brian for the news.
Okay. Here we go again. I'm back from DEF CON and Black Hat.
And we're ready to bring you Android news.
Nothing
like taking the modest approach and making the Android news bumper all about himself. a little all about Brian there. Thanks. Good to have you back.
I really thought we were going to toss to this, so I wasn't 100% prepared for the news. But we have not invited Sundar. Way to
blow the surprise that we had Sundar on the show, Brian.
Sundar, don't talk yet, Sundar. You haven't been introduced yet. Sundar, go away.
Sorry, guys.
Back to the green room, Sundar. Yeah. Back to the green room.
We'll let you know when you're on the show. You yet.
He's really pesty back here. He keeps tapping me on the shoulder.
Sundar. Well, because let's be honest, his workload has significantly increased since he was last on the show.
Tell me about
it. And if that wasn't an all-star segue, I don't know what was.
I think that's pretty good. And you got to give him credit, right? He's got a lot on his mind.
He does,
so.
Yes. Yeah.
Google announced yesterday that the corporate structure of the company will change significantly as Google becomes the internet arm, basically, under the umbrella company called Alphabet, abc.xyz, if you want to go to the website. Larry Page and Sergey Brin are going to shift to Alphabet to play in their fun little sandbox over there with moonshots. And they're going to leave our hero of the show, Sundar Pichai, as CEO of Google. We checked in with Sundar, though not really. And this is what he probably would have had to say had we actually done that. He said, "I am CEO of Google. I win the internet. No further questions."
Is that an actual quote from the blog post?
No. I'm just saying if we had talked to him, it's possible he would have said something like that. In this new world order, Google now controls search, ads, maps, apps, YouTube, Android, and infrastructure. And then under Alphabet, you know, as the umbrella company, of course, Google, there's Calico, Nest, Fiber, Ventures, Capital, and X, all kind of running independently under Alphabet.
And from a investor standpoint, the Google will continue to trade under the two ticker symbols, GOGL and GOOG, but those all stock will transition to Alphabet stock in a one-to-one transfer. I have two thoughts on this.
One, and then you can't talk anymore. No, I just mean if that's all you have.
No, I have more than two things.
Okay.
One was I went to lunch and I turned off notifications because it was an important lunch and I was talking. And I get back on the bus and I look on Twitter and I seriously looked to see what day it was because I thought it was April Fool's.
Yeah, no, it kind of felt that way.
That was number one. The number two, I read the blog post that was I think we have the link. The announcement went on the Google blog that Sergey posted all about it. And I read through this and as I'm reading and understanding Alphabet, I was like, is this like any more Silicon Valley plot thread than like this? Yeah, how hooly could this
show,
be?
The
yeah,
HBO
exactly.
Show.
Yeah, like totally it was very. It's odd, and apparently, I read they've been planning this for 4 years.
Yes. I don't know, Russell. What are your thoughts? You know,
there's actually a Hooli joke in the letter.
Yeah.
is
that the drone delivery one?
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it's definitely something that they're at the very least self-aware about it. I think it's a good idea. I think that every once in a while we come across, you know, thoughts that Google is distracted as a company when we think about this one organization who is doing everything from, you know, giant robots and you know, self-driving cars and you know, delivering internet to places all over the world, being the same company that was doing search and doing Hangouts and doing things like that. So every once in a while we see stories about how, you know, Google as a company is distracted. And I think that you're not going to be able to make that same claim here under this new organization. The dividing lines are a lot more clear, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, by separating out, you know, things like Fiber and things like some of the biotech stuff they're doing and Google Ventures and things like that, breaking them away from the internet giant, you know, makes sense because, you know, it was getting messy. It felt as if, you know, like, you know, with so many things going on in so many different areas, how many things were actually truly Google in nature, mm-hmm. or just the fact that people who worked at Google were working on them. I think this at least cleans up the lines a little bit. And actually, Business Insider had a great graphic that kind of, if you're curious about where the different divisions end up and who's leading them, there are all these great – people are all posting charts. This is a great chart. But what I find interesting about this is that so under Alphabet, you see they broke out Google under Sundar, and as Jason mentioned, Android and apps and maps and YouTube and all stuff like that. They broke out Google Ventures and Google Capital into their own separate things, and they broke out Google Fi and Google X, the fiber aspect, and Google X just makes sense. But Nest being its own division, that makes it real easy to sell. You know, given the turmoil that we've heard from Nest, you know, internally, at least I've heard from people who work there and things like that. The fact that Nest was broken out of its own little thing seemed very odd to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading into it, but
I think Nest was always its own company. Like, it was never really fully absorbed. It was always intended to be its own kind of thing that was run separately. I do find it interesting that in that organization split, Glass is still a Nest product, technically, under that organization break, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Oh, that is interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and I mean, Nest isn't necessarily... I mean, I guess there's... I suppose there's an internet component, but doesn't as neatly fit into kind of what all the other arms and of Google itself.
And I'm sure somebody wrote about it, but where does Auto... I mean, I guess it's Android.
It's Android,
Auto,
but
you thought that would merge in with what they're doing.
There are lines that are blurred. What you mean.
The other interesting thing is Google Ventures being separated from the Google mothership as such will quieten any people who are a bit worried about the fact that Google Ventures is investing in certain startups and the potential conflict of interest that lies there.
Yep.
So if you have a nice startup building awesome apps and you're looking for funding and you get investment from Google Ventures, other people may be worried about partnering with you because they'll say, oh, it's Google. Whereas now Google Ventures is separate from Google Actual and may have more free rein to operate in the market.
And it also frees up Google to pursue areas that Google Ventures had invested in. Like if Google wanted to roll out a Uber competitor, the conflict would no longer be there anymore because Google Ventures had invested in Uber. And that's why you can call an Uber from Google Maps and things like that. But let's say Google gets self-driving cars and they want to make a service that can pick you up. You know, there's no longer that conflict. So it works both ways there, Mateo.
It really does seem like conflict is kind of is a big part of this, at the heart of it, kind of allowing Google to do all the crazy, you know, move in the crazy directions. Google. I'm going to have to get used to saying Alphabet. Allowing Alphabet to move in all the kind of crazy directions that they want to move in, while Google still kind of keeps focused on its web efforts.
And it's interesting because I saw a lot of some, you know, various pundits online, stuff like that, talking about the move for Sundar, and this is, you know, a move that affects us, which is, you know, we've been following, you know, Mr. Pachai has been nice enough to come. Hey, how you doing, Sundar?
Congratulations, by the way, Sundar. Just thought we should let you know.
Still want to know if he's aware of this, but anyway.
Probably not.
Just a quick one. What music do you think Sundar's playing on his Google Play Music playlists at the moment? Maybe Lonely Island's Like a Boss?
Possibly. That's a good question. There's the Brian I know and love.
Thanks, Brian. We're back on form.
But I've seen it speculated that this move was interesting in that Sundar's star has been rising, and is this how Google keeps Sundar happy?
Especially in light of all the stuff happening at Twitter and everything. I guess a few years back there was a possibility of Sundar moving to Twitter,
and now Twitter's looking for a CEO.
Big time.
Yeah,
Twitter's kind of in an uncomfortable situation as far as that's concerned. So who knows? But would they really turn on a dime like this?
Well, no. But here's the thing: they didn't turn on a dime. If Larry and Sergey and Eric Schmidt have been planning this for 4 years,
and it was just a matter of let's pull the trigger.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Interesting. So this is an Android show. Now that Sundar is not only focused on Android and Chrome, but everything that Google does, which is a lot, what kind of changes do we see coming down the pipeline? Like, he's CEO of Google. Does that mean that at some point someone becomes the Sundar of yesterday or the day before yesterday?
Probably got to be,
and Sundar becomes the Larry Page.
Someone's got to move up to take over the Android program group.
Yeah,
and all those different search and YouTube and things like.
Or does Sundar stay in this power in this role, but for everything? Well, that seems like a lot to handle.
That's a lot.
But Sundar's a super. He's a superhero.
Well, who doesn't check email?
Well, at night, but I don't know. What do you think, Russell? Do you think that the Android kind of section of all of this is going to see a big change sometime here soon?
I think that we've been seeing the change so far. I mean, Sundar has made some really interesting efforts over the last couple of years, really, mm-hmm. when it comes to unification, working with Matias Duarte for what we now know as the material design language and pushing that through the entirety of Google, I think really is the next logical step. You know, we saw that at I/O where they were talking about that kind of unified push for design, and I think that's going to be the big focus right now is to take all of the Google products and make them actually feel like they're part of one brand.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because even with material design, like material design was one of the few kind of mandates from Google as a company to all of its kind of different, you know, different arms, groups to say, hey, we should unite on this, and that didn't happen very quickly, and in some cases it didn't happen very effectively. It's a lot better now than it was a year ago, but having Sundar, who has kind of orchestrated this largely up until now, kind of in that point in control of all of the separate groups now, maybe there will be more of a unifying effort, more of an effective effort as far as unification is concerned, and that's a really impressive Superman flying Sundar.
The S stands for Sundar. He's a superhero.
Sundar man. There
Sundar
we go.
The superhero.
Wow. Yeah,
you have to be with all the power he has now.
So Sundar man. Okay.
I think that I agree completely with that. To developers, probably, whether they're web developers or app developers, one of the big changes was the decoupling of the browser and the web view from the operating system itself. So Chrome and Android working together to, in a way, cover up or resolve the problem of fragmentation. Now that a lot more users are on Android Lollipop, we're starting to see a lot more people use the latest version of Chrome and the Chrome web view for Android. So that working together, Android not being separate from Chrome, in the long term, is going to be more of an advantage to both Google and the Android ecosystem as a whole.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, either way, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out and how mm-hmm. it all what changes and how and in what way. And I think we all agree that Sundar has been doing a great job, at least over the past year plus or so. So I mean, it's I think well deserved.
I mean, he's primary to the Android that we see and love at this point. You know, like Russell said, the last 2 years have been pretty darn significant as far as Android's evolution, and Sundar is right at the top of that.
Yep.
You know, he's the puppet master as far as that's concerned.
So all hail Alphabet.
All hail Alphabet. ABC.xyz, if you want to
ABC.xyz,
see their
not
simple
Alphabet
webpage, which when I went there yesterday, by the way, it was totally blank.
Well, that's better than when I went to Alphabet.com and that was down.
And then what about at Alphabet? Russell, you spoke with at Alphabet on Twitter.
Oh, this poor guy. Oh, I felt so bad because when I talked to him on the phone, he just sounded so dead. And it could have just been that he had a long day, but it was like 7:30 at night that he called me. You know, this guy is Chris Andrikanic, and he's just a regular guy who digs tech and you know, uses an iPhone, and at like 4:30 yesterday started getting mentions on his Twitter for things that he had no idea were happening. And he said something like he drove from work to pick up his kid. It was like a 40-minute drive, and in that 40-minute drive he'd gotten like 1,000 mentions. And it just never stopped. Like, he just kept getting mentions for this thing. And apparently Google hasn't reached out to him to try and get a hold of the Twitter account or anything. So he's stuck like that for a while.
I guess they have Alphabet. It's at Alphabet Inc. on Twitter.
Right.
So maybe they don't. I mean, I guess they don't need it. Why would they need Alphabet if they have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, throw the guy. I mean, it brought up a good question. Is that it, let's say, well, you're a Jason Howell now, right? Well, somebody posed the question to me that if Ron XO Corp emerged one day,
right,
and contacted me, would I sell my Twitter name? I was like, absolutely. Are you crazy? It's just a Twitter name. I'll come up with something else. That's fine. Give me the check. Yeah.
So. You got it. Yeah. And actually, I can see Ron, bought. I can see Ron XO being
Sure.
Surprised Google didn't pick that, honest.
It was in the running from what I heard, the branding people said. Yeah. It was Alphabet or
actually,
Ron XO.
Before we move on, Alphabet, I think, is kind of a brilliant name.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because they say, you know, an alphabet is like, you know, all these different letters, you know, that make up this language, and, you know, they're going to fill it out with all of their companies. And B, when you break the word down, Alpha, which is totally Google, and Bet, which is, you know, they bet on so many things. Yeah. I don't know. It can be interpreted a million different ways. But Alpha, Bet, when it's broken down, I think is perfect for Google.
I like how you're breaking down the reasons with A, B, like C. And oh.
That was even unintentional. All right, moving on.
Anyway, moving on to being scared out of our wits. As we've been covering the security issue that emerged pre-Black Hat and DEF CON events about stage fright, brings up the question about, you know, how are we going to handle important security updates on Android when it's such a fragmented, you know, different carriers, different, you know, different device manufacturers and things like that. Well, last week, Google announced that it vows to update its Nexus devices once a month with security updates. This is especially poignant given the stage fright vulnerability. The first security update was set to roll out last Wednesday, August 5th, to Nexus 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 10, and Nexus Player, and directly addressed the stage fright issue. I'm a Nexus 5 owner, and I haven't gotten an update yet, so I don't know how that worked out. Nexus devices will receive major platform updates for at least 2 years and security updates for 3 years from initial launch or 18 months from the device's latest sale in the Play Store. Following that, Samsung and LG committed to monthly security updates, and Samsung actually said, with the recent security issues, we've been rethinking the approach to getting security updates to our devices in a more timely manner. And LG's comment on the matter was that LG will be providing security updates on a monthly basis, which carriers will then be able to make available to customers immediately. HTC, Sony, and Android One devices are also getting security updates to address stage fright specifically, but no mention of regular security updates.
Although I would imagine Android One, Google didn't mention specifically yet. Yeah. So
here we've got a major security issue. Google's addressing it with their devices. Samsung and LG, the two large manufacturers behind them, are following accordingly. Russell, do you feel any safer about this issue now?
I didn't feel unsafe before, so sure.
Yeah, me either.
Because of the obscurity of it? Explain why, because I think a lot of people see this and, you know, obviously they react to
it. I can't tell you the number of people who have sent me the story, like, oh, see, I told you. And I'm just like, yeah, you, no.
The core of the problem is definitely interesting. The way that, you know, the stage fright media dependencies can handle messages so that this kind of problem can happen is technically interesting. But it wasn't something that was easily exploitable, and it's really, really complicated to get something. You know, you have to not only make the exploit happen, but then you have to break out of the sandbox where the exploit happened, and then try to affect other applications. And you know, there are really limited cases where that was even possible. You know, so it's weird that we can talk about stage fright. We can say stage fright. The vulnerability that affects stage fright affects a whole bunch of different devices, like a lot of different users. But the part of that that's actually dangerous doesn't.
Yeah.
And so it was this kind of weird cross conversation that happened. And the way that Adrian Ludwig at Black Hat explained it, I thought was really eloquent. The way that it got broken down and how it was being fixed. And you know, at its core, it would be nice to have a security model for any platform that wasn't reactionary, you know, where something happened and everyone scrambles to try and fix it, whereas, you know, a constant process. And that's what I think he's going for. And so it you know, ultimately, I think it has a great result, but I don't think it was necessarily a huge deal to begin with.
Well, yeah, and it's the kind of thing where if it lights the fire to get us to monthly updates, or although, honestly, though, monthly seems like a long time, too. I mean, like, to have the ability to have an emergency
update.
You want
an update. Thursday for Microsoft?
I want to go back to Patch Tuesday.
Or Patch Tuesday, right.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess monthly is fine, although I just checked and I still haven't gotten it. I mean, it's good. Yeah, it's good to set the precedent and to build out this program for it, so that people can, you know at least there's a way. You're not waiting in the ether to hope that, because that was my thing, is that, like, yeah, I've analyzed it, I've looked at it, I realized that the eventuality of me getting hit at this is probably pretty thin, but I'd like to be protected anyway, and I have no idea when I will be, and that's never a fun feeling. That said, if you are worried about stage fright, there is a stage fright detector app. You can go in the Google Play Store and you can check out. And this is just one of them. I'm sure other of these will emerge. And I'm really kind of be careful, though, because this kind of scares me, too, because I feel like people will prey on the fear of stage fright to make detector apps that are then infecting you, you know? So.
Well, yeah. So the thing that I worry about, and I completely agree with everything you guys are saying about this, you know, it always ends, these security stories end up seem like being made a huge deal of,
yeah,
when the reality of how it's executed and all that isn't quite as scary. I think the thing that I worry about in regards to something like stage fright is the longer tail of it. Like, yeah, we're kind of at the beginning of this particular thing, and the longer tail says, you know, like Ron Amadio, for example, Ars Technica, wrote an interesting piece basically saying that 2.6 out of 100, you know, that's 2.5% of devices in the wild would actually, you know, receive these patches conceivably, leaving, and then 5% are not vulnerable, basically leaving 92.4% of all Android devices still unpatched, ripe for the picking.
Yep.
And the long tail of that, I guess, is what really concerns me. Like, yes, there isn't a whole lot of stuff right now, but people who are looking to exploit things and do it relatively easily, you know, piggybacking on other people's hard work, have a good amount of time, and probably there are a lot of them taking a look at this and going, okay, this is something that we can actively exploit. Yeah. And there are a lot of devices that won't get updated. Is that something to worry about, Russell? What do you think?
Well, so my favorite part about the article that you brought up is that there's a huge update at the bottom where he talks to Google's Adrian Ludwig, and, mm-hmm, and a bunch of that stuff gets corrected. So it was kind of funny that you brought that up. But the core of what Ron said is still a problem. You know, we have things like the Galaxy S3, which I learned today that T-Mobile is still selling to customers.
Wow.
That is really unlikely to, you know, it's not running a modern version of Android. It's not got a current time for, you know, stage fright to be repaired. And so that I see as a pretty critical problem. And there's not an elegant way to address that, I think, you know, because of the way that Android is currently built. But again, you know, we're talking about a relatively narrow attack vector where, you know, there are still ways for users to protect themselves outside of, you know, the normal, you know, kind of scare tactics where you install apps to protect yourself. This is pretty common sense stuff. You know, if you are absolutely afraid of getting, you know, an exploit through stage fright, turn off the ability to download, you know, MMS messages as soon as they hit your phone, and only open messages from people that you know.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I mean, you're 99% of the way there. And you know, when you take a step away from that, you know, Android as a sandboxed system, you know, has multiple layers of security that have to be affected in order for things like this to actually be an issue. And I've yet to see a demonstration of that actually happening.
Right.
Yep.
No, you're right. We hear about these things all the time. And then what is the real world? Have I ever been in a conversation with someone on the street and they go, yeah, my Android phone got hacked because of that vulnerability that you read about a couple of weeks ago? Like, that never happens.
Who will be patient zero? And will, right, we, and but, will and, we ever even know?
And
will
I think,
we
and ever I think know? Ron Amadio's, one of his bigger points in that article, even beyond the correction, is just the fact that, you know, someday there might be a pretty big worm that ends up. But, is that fear, uncertainty, and doubt? I suppose it could be. But it's entirely possible. He says a blaster worm style Android security Armageddon seems inevitable, and that's what it's going to take to bring real meaningful change. And I do think that real meaningful change needs to happen. By the way, I absolutely
so do you think
agree
that this move by this move by Google and the manufacturers is real meaningful change, or it's not enough?
I think it's meaningful-ish change. Yeah. The problem can be the carriers, right? Yeah. The manufacturers can do all they want on pushing out these monthly updates, but they still have to clear them, at least in the U.S. with the carriers. carriers so that they can be rolled out on the network. And that's another bottleneck. If the carriers decide to sign up for a monthly update thing and actually demonstrate that they're willing, that it's effective, because that's also another part of it, right? You could say one thing, but seeing that change and seeing those updates come through monthly with all of the hurdles that are kind of ahead of these updates, like that's a whole different story. Yeah.
Mateo,
I hope so. Change is good, though, in this regard.
Mateo, what's your take?
I'm not really too worried about the issue. I carry a towel with me, and I keep on reminding myself not to panic.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
The meaningful change from Google in the way that they develop Android may not come in Android M, but if they do something similar to what they've done with the web browser, with Chrome and the web view, so decouple it from the base part of the operating system and just push the security updates through Google Play services, that could be a way of reaching the vast majority of Android users in Western markets. So obviously it may not be very fast, but I'm not too worried about the security risk because, as Russell was saying, it's not something that can be easily exploited, and then you're in a sandbox. So it's more or less the equivalent of someone walking into your garden, but they can't get into your house.
They're going to steal my flowers, though.
That's fantastic.
Just don't panic, Jason.
And carry a towel.
Yeah. Oh, so Jason, Jason read that.
I got one.
So Jason,
it's a small towel. I realize
you read this book.
Shut up, Ron. I quit. All right, hey, let's stop talking about scary things.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Never mind.
Let's talk about skies falling.
How about here's an HTC double whammy. First of all, it's HTC One Max was shown. This has been Security Week, by the way. There's a Black Hat, DEF CON, we've kind of been talking about it. So there's all sorts of skies falling stories in the news. One of them is that the HTC One Max, and I believe some Samsung phones as well, have been shown to keep fingerprint biometrics unencrypted in the device's memory. And, you know, ultimately hackers could get to that if they, hypothetically, if they had access to the device, they could
do that.
Wasn't
it just like a JPEG or something? Wasn't it just like, it was just a scan of the fingerprint unprotected in the file system?
I mean, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Though the company has patched the security hole.
Yeah.
Patches have happened, so there you go. But
the timing was miserable.
The timing was pretty bad because the second part of the double whammy is that HTC is basically valueless at the moment. HTC's stock is trading lower than its cash on hand. As John Biggs of TechCrunch puts it, if you bought all HTC stock, the company would have to pay you, the buyer, to take it over.
The stock is worth less than their cash on hand, which is just unbelievable. I mean, if there was ever a sad trombone moment, I don't know what.
Oh, poor HTC dragging it out. There we go. Does HTC recover from this? What do you guys think?
I think that HTC has this really cool thing that's not Android related that I've been madly in love with for a couple of months now.
Okay.
I seriously, seriously hope that it pays off for them in huge ways.
Oh, you're talking about the Re.
I'm talking about the Vibe.
I'm just kidding.
The Re.
You, sir.
Just kidding.
I really like the Re.
No, I think the Re is great, actually.
Yeah.
Everything that I've
seen.
It's not
selling either. No one's buying that either.
Totally kidding. No, you have the Vibe? You've been playing with the Vibe?
I was in New York 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago now, and was able to play with the Vibe for a couple hours and was just blown away. It was better than all of the Oculus Rift demos that I've done. It has blown away just a lot of the things that I've seen. The partnership between Valve and HTC, I really hope does just huge things for both HTC and Valve. We're going to hear more about how exactly that's all going to work in October. But it was a virtual presence system. I put this little helmet on, and they had a room for me to walk around in and do stuff. And it was just, you know, really incredible to experience.
Well, so now, do you think that the Vive will be enough to survive that horrible Time magazine cover that went out last week?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because this is one of those things. It's weird, you know, to look at someone with one of these goofy things on. Yeah, like Phil and I both have really silly pictures of these things on our heads. But when you're on the other side of those goggles and you see it, it's just a phenomenal experience. And I don't know a single person that hasn't put it on and been like, wow, I want to like hollow out one of the rooms in my house and turn it into just a VR room.
Agreed, but that Time Magazine cover just totally like talk
so
about, like talk yeah. about like setting back of movement, you know, years possibly. Like, I mean, it's great that they're covering it, and it's great that VR is getting a real take on it. But to thank God, all I can think is that poor kid on the cover. Thank God his face was covered up, because I imagine he'd be getting
somebody sat in front of a computer screen and was like, yeah, this is a good idea.
Yeah, oh
this is,
man,
this is awesome.
Yeah,
and no one stopped them.
Well, hopefully the Vive is enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the question. Is something like the Vive, I mean, realize this is a different direction for HTC, and it's obviously necessary because their phone efforts are going nowhere.
Yeah.
Is that enough to bring them to above the level that they are right now?
Above valueless?
Yes, above hopefully. Anything but valueless.
Revive them, as they're saying in the chat room. I don't know.
Revive.
Mateo, do you think it's enough?
I don't think it's enough, but it's a good start. So they've shown with products such as the Re and then the Vive, they're showing it the beginning of a differentiation. They're not just a smartphone company anymore. And the whole market for accessories or things that enhance your overall smartphone experience and speak to the Android platform is just in its infancy. There's so much more that can be done, from wearables such as smartwatches to fitness trackers, to VR headsets, home automation. HTC have a wonderful stable of engineers and designers, and I'm sure that they can go through a pivot. It won't be easy. It will most likely be very, very painful. But I know a few people at HTC, and I'm sure that they have the right talents to do the pivot. It won't be easy, but I wish them the very best in the process.
I think everybody wants to see HTC succeed, because it's going to be interesting. Had some glorious years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch that pivot if it does happen. So,
The HTC Re is fantastic camera. Mm-hmm. One of my talks at March of the Droids earlier this year was filmed entirely on HTC Re's. So they had HTC Re's set up around the room, and then they edited the video and popped it on YouTube.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so,
cool.
All right. Well, we wish HTC the best as far as that's concerned.
Yeah. A lot of news. I know.
Wow. Okay, we have to thank our first sponsor of this episode. And actually, it's a brand new sponsor. I'm super thrilled to tell you all about JackThreads. It's jackthreads.com. And basically, this is for guys. Obviously, like I know, at least for me, I have a hard time shopping because I just don't have a whole lot of time. Sometimes it's hard for me to find clothes that I like, you know, in one place. I go around to this side or that side. I might find a shirt over there, whatever. I don't have the time to do that. JackThreads actually curates a huge assortment of clothes for you. They actually have a great Android app that I have up on my screen down here, so you can kind of take a look at what they do. And they're always kind of rotating through sales and different collections and everything like that. They actually have an editorial team that curates this selection, you know, from classics like denim shirts to, you know, super edgy graphic tees, all that kind of stuff. Vans, Under Armour, tons of brands actually throughout here. You can go into the brands tab just to kind of browse through them. But, I mean, there's way more than you even see right here. The list is huge. Levi's, all sorts of brands. And they'll provide guidance, actually, on why to buy an item and what you can wear with it. So if you don't have a whole lot of kind of experience picking good clothes that's going to match and, you know, create kind of a nice wardrobe for yourself, because, you know, I admit I'm kind of like
I
that.
I think you do all right, Jason. You're being hard on yourself.
I do okay.
We could use a little help.
I thank you. I could use a little help. And that's kind of what JackThreads is all about. There's actually a live chat feature called Style Tips from Jill, where one of their female stylists will actually help guide you through the process.
May or may not be named Jill.
What? Maybe they're all named Jill. I don't know.
Job requirement must be named Jill.
You can cross-reference items based on other shopper views, purchases, saves. So, you know what items are popular. Inventory is updated all the time. They've got new stuff appearing all the time. And like I said, different sales that they're running at all times. So you can take a look and get some new threads, get some jack threads. Prices range from $10 to $300. Any budget works here. I actually shopped for some things. The shirt I'm wearing right now.
Look at that.
You know, this handsome ambig shirt. And you know what? Hey, it fits. I'm a tall guy, and it's not easy for me to shop online, but I find the clothes. I also got some shoes. You want to see my shoes?
Wow.
I don't normally do a fashion show.
This is just straight up. This is the rent the runway right here. This is
Yeah.
This is the closest to Jason's feet I've ever thought I'd ever come.
Take it. Oh, sorry. Don't show the wide shot. No, look, you guys got to check it out. Great selection. Often have very discounted, you know, clothes as well as, you know, new items that that are just kind of, you know, up and coming for the site. So you definitely want to check it out. Don't buy what everyone else has. Skip them all. Shop JackThreads. Also, like I said, if you don't want to do it on the web, you can do it through their Android app. They also have one for iOS. So check out jackthreads.com/android. You can sign up for an account there and keep up to date on the best deals, the latest trends, exclusive offers, all sorts of stuff. That's jackthreads.com/android. And for 20% off your entire order, use the code Android when you check out. JackThreads, elevated style every day. And we thank JackThreads for their support. I didn't show you the other part of my order.
Ooh, let's see.
Colorful.
Not
swim
bad.
Trunks.
You know, I need a new pair.
Because I need these in a bad way.
I need a new bathing suit.
I will spare you me wearing these for the show, though.
Yeah.
Instead, I'll just put my foot in your face like I did to show off the shoes. So
when Ann
that
reads,
looks like the Germany soccer team shorts.
For a moment, I thought it was a jersey.
Oh, yeah.
I did, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that was totally intentional. Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah, there you go.
World Cup winners, by the way.
Oh, see?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I pick the winners. That's what I do. Burnside. All right, so there you go, jackthreads.com/android, offer code Android. All right, let's check out some hardware.
When ad reads go awry.
I know.
All right, so you might be wondering with all this news about Google, what's up with Android One? Well,
are you wondering?
I was wondering it just the other day. Google remains very committed, we found out this week, to Android One, and is planning to bring phones to India at even cheaper prices, around $50, to attract first-time smartphone buyers. Android One initially launched in India last year, but hasn't had the expected traction due to pricing and supply chain issues. So Google not giving up on India. So if you are watching in India and you're looking for a low-priced phone, keep an eye out. Price drop coming.
$50. Man, how inexpensive can phones get?
I don't know.
It's kind of crazy.
You got to wonder how much are they marking up the phones we're buying.
Whoa, that's a good question.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Think about that one.
Okay, so let's see here.
By the way, to our next story, I love the fact now that our little joke about the number of days since a OnePlus marketing incident is now people are tweeting at me to alert me to when there are when OnePlus has a marketing.
So we don't need a ticker app to keep track of it.
Yeah,
the community is doing this for us.
The community's doing a very, very good job.
Thank you.
I need to build an IFTT recipe. Something that, who was it? At SpeedTramp on Twitter let me know that there was a time to reset the counter about our next story.
Yeah. Well, today is the day that the OnePlus 2 is made available to the public, sort of, if you have an invite, that is. And I think only certain invites working at the moment? I'm not quite sure. Jeff Jarvis of This Week in Google, he was at the New York event. He ended up getting a couple of invites, so gave Leo one, gave myself one.
Cool.
I ended up redeeming it today and bought mine. And the confirmation says shipment is pending. With 3 to 5 days to receive once it's processed. This goes counter to what OnePlus, I guess, says on their forums, that they won't be shipping to U.S. or Canada for another 2 to 3 weeks due to North American shipment delays.
I would love it if the shipping status on your order said eventually.
Someday.
But we'll get around to it.
Yeah.
We have your money. We just want you to know that you've paid for the device.
And, you know,
we don't know when you're going to get it.
At some point, you'll get a phone.
Definitely, maybe.
Yes. Positively, maybe not.
Yeah.
So, Russell, you have the OnePlus 2. I'm very curious to get one and to play around with it. But how long have you had yours, and what do you think?
It showed up this week.
Nice.
The OnePlus 2. This is the European version because the US version isn't ready yet. So it's It is a solid upgrade in both look and feel from its predecessor. I really appreciate how solid the phone feels. It doesn't really seem any thicker or anything like that. This is with the OnePlus One on top of it. Wow. You know, so it's not really, you know, a whole lot thicker or anything like that. It's a little tiny bit more narrow than the OnePlus One, but it's really just kind of barely noticeable. My favorite thing about it so far has been the fingerprint sensor, which is just stupid fast. The thing that makes it faster than a lot of the other ones, it's not an actual physical button.
It's just a sensor.
It's just a sensor, and it's always on. So if you put your thumb over it when the screen is off, that is unlocking the phone, you know, as soon as you put the thumb there. So it'll unlock the phone and wake the device at the same time. Whereas with the Galaxy S6 or the iPhone, you have to push that button to wake the screen, and then that starts the authentication process. So it's noticeably faster when it comes to unlocking. Has a lot of the same gesture controls that the previous version of the phone had. The Oxygen OS is very, very minimal, but you know, so far it's been a lot of fun to use.
So now, has the world stopped spinning because there's no NFC on the phone?
The world has not stopped spinning because NFC is not on the phone. It also hasn't stopped spinning because quick charging is missing or wireless charging, strangely enough.
So the phone is usable without those features.
It is, in fact, usable without those features.
I was worried. I was concerned.
It's crazy. the USB-C port, it doesn't feel any different than a micro USB port. I mean, the port is there. You know, the cable itself is a little bit longer. Like, the actual port is a little bit longer than a micro USB port is. Mm-hmm. So the actual, you know, act of sticking it in the phone, it goes, you know, kind of deeper into the device, and you can feel this kind of snap that happens when it goes in. That's similar to a micro USB port, so it doesn't feel, you know, loose or wobbly or anything like that. And the cable that it comes with, I don't know who it is that OnePlus goes to for cables, but they are so nice.
Yeah, they really are.
It's really just insane.
Yeah, it's one of those things that when you get a OnePlus, well, when I got the OnePlus One, it was a total surprise because I hadn't seen any unboxings that I can remember, or at least any unboxings that I saw didn't focus on the cable. But the cable's really nice.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You want to make sure that, you know, because we've got a million of these cables, you want to make sure that one's actually in use and not stored in a closet somewhere.
Yep. And this one is the micro USB, the regular USB part is works on both sides, so it is reversible as well.
Oh, wow.
Okay. When you go to put it in to the USB port. And when I talked to the OnePlus guys at their San Francisco launch event, they said that they were fixing to make these only like $5 on their website when they start selling them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty excited about how – it's weird to be excited about a cable.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely am happy with what I've seen with the phone so far. I haven't had a whole lot of time to – mess with it too much, but the camera, what pictures I have taken, have been pretty comparable to what I've been getting from the Galaxy S6.
Wow. Because there were some concerns around the camera with the lack of OIS. I mean, we had Miriam on the show, and she was ranting about that. And so you're getting similar to your Samsung S6 experience with the camera?
I've been getting pretty similar. I mean, I've only really started testing it today, and you know, you definitely notice more misfires due to a lack of OIS. It's also a slower camera. When you take a picture, there's, you know, a pause for processing. This you know, kind of splash animation shows up on the screen every time you take a picture and says that it's processing, and then the picture shows up. It can take, you know, if you have HDR on, it can take upwards of 3 seconds for that to happen, which is a whole lot slower than the Galaxy S6. But the quality of photos that I've been getting have been really nice.
Cool.
Nice.
Well, I would say don't feel alone or weird about liking the cable, because that's exactly the kind of thing that gets me excited about a device. So I'm kind of jealous, in fact.
You're a cable man.
I'm a cable guy. I mean, we're all a cable guy. No, but I know. But like, those are the little touches that make a device different. Like, I love I mean, we all love the unboxing, and we love it, you know, but like the peripherals, and like the, like, as I've gotten more and more phones and devices, the smaller that AC adapter plug gets, the better. And like once we started getting them where it was just a USB cable plugged into it, like that, that's mm-hmm. not, I understand, Russell. That's what I'm saying. So, cool.
I've gone a step further and actually purchased a couple of extra cables from OnePlus just because I like them so much. And yeah. also got the headphones as well.
Cool.
And they're very reasonably priced.
Mm-hmm. All about cables. That's our next show.
Okay. Spinoff show.
I'm excited for you
it'll
to
be yeah, it'll be short. It'll be short format. Yeah. Short format.
I bet
five,
you I could put
minutes.
Together 15 minutes about cables on a weekly basis. But, you know, if anything to advise.
I'll go ahead and give that show to you. You can.
If
you can
anything to
that.
Advise people not to buy Monster or anything at Best Buy. I hope they're not a sponsor ever. Okay, well, moving on. Speaking of friggin' awesome phones, some Google and HTC veterans are prepped an announcement of a friggin' awesome smartphone for a September 1 launch. Totally out of nowhere. No-name hardware manufacturer to do something different and hinting at a premium-tier smartphone for around $300 to $400. And no, we're not talking about OnePlus here. This is somebody new. Nextbit is backed by Ventures, owned by Alphabet, formerly Google Ventures, and has ex-Googlers and ex-HTC employees on board with its launch of a smartphone they claim will actually improve over time performance-wise thanks to its own flavor of software enhancements, for example, cloud storage to boost storage capacity over time. Very few details, but September 1st is just around the corner, so another entrance into the smartphone market. Matteo, are you excited for this one?
Whenever I hear rumors like that, I get excited, yes. So this hopefully will be something along the lines of what Yola have been doing and other companies coming up with their own flavor of an operating system and having it as the real value-add proposition to a new device. So it's not so much the device you're getting, it's the services on top of that. So... yeah, I'm quite excited about seeing how that goes and how and if Google Play services will run on it. It will be interesting.
Yeah,
it reminds me in a way of some of the things I've been seeing coming out of China, such as Meizu with their Flyme or Flyme OS, mm-hmm. which is a different flavor of Android, behaves significantly different. And if you want to, you can put the Google Play services on it, but it's a different take on the Android operating system based on AOSP.
Yeah,
it would be interesting if ex-Googlers, ex-HTCers came out with a phone that didn't have Google Play services on it, right?
Well, now that they're backed by Ventures, owned by Alphabet, formerly Google Ventures, they could do that.
I suppose. Yeah. I suppose they could.
Well, and the Nextbit guys have a really solid relationship with the Cyanogen team.
That makes a lot of sense.
Their first product, Baton, Nextbit Baton, was exclusive to CyanogenMod for a while, and they've had a pretty healthy relationship for a while, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I mean they've been doing software development for a while, and now they're kind of branching out into the hardware.
I love it.
Thing.
I love so, it. Bring on like new companies doing new stuff. That's awesome. Yeah. That's very cool.
It's kind of a liberated time for smartphone development right now. Strangely, but
great innovation. Bring it. Speaking of innovation.
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen. Although last week we had kind of a mini review of the Moto G with Michael Fisher of Pocket Now. I wouldn't say it was mini, actually. It was a pretty full-fledged review.
Pretty hardy.
Matteo, you've been playing around with the Moto G, the new Moto G, for a little bit now. I guess you got it not too long ago. What are your impressions?
Just like the first generation, second generation Moto Gs, I love the third generation one. This, in a way, covers up a lot of the issues that there were with the second generation one. It is fully waterproof, so I think for someone like myself who goes running in Scotland in the pouring rain, this is the ideal phone for doing that. I personally really, really like the device. So the review unit I was given by Motorola is the 2 GB RAM, 16 GB storage device, which also takes micro SD expansion. So it's the standard higher tier Moto G. I've also played around with the lower end 8 GB storage, 1 GB RAM one, and to the average user, there's really no real difference between the two. It's only the slightly more enthusiastic or heavy users that will notice the performance boost the 16 gig, 2 gig RAM model will provide the user. Testament to the fact I really, really like the Moto G, I have used one of my precious and limited Google Play Music slots for the device. So when I came away on this trip, I activated my Google Play Music account on it and downloaded all of my favorite playlists. And I have been using it as a media player and with Pocket Casts.
Cool.
My review of the device is still in the works. I like to have a device for a while before I review it and really use it in day-to-day activity. So I will complete it when I get back from China next week. But the back is really, really nice to hold. It's less slippery when using it in situations such as sport or at the gym. It feels solid and you're less afraid to drop it just because of that extra grip. Sorry, I'll just wave my hand.
Hey, how's it going?
Yep, light on.
Oh, there we go. Oh, you were activating the camera. That's why you did that, right? You did the little camera twist thing? Yeah, okay.
It's a new gesture thing for Android.
Turn off the lights.
Oh, wow, that worked. Whoa, that worked. Motion detector. All right, there we go.
Dang, I didn't realize it was so effective.
I've set off a trend after Mockadile.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's one of the things that you can't get with, what was it, the bits. What was it? The smart bits? The next bit.
With the
Unfortunately, you won't be able to get it in Mockadile. I know that's a big deal to you, Mateo. I will say, though, your color scheme, I don't know if you knew this. Maybe you knew this, and it's why you picked it, matches the Boise State football color scheme. I have a little link in the doc if you want to show that off. But I'm pretty sure you did that on purpose, right?
I want to see this color scheme.
Are we talking American football or real football?
As Brian crashes and burns.
American football. Brian, do you have that link?
Okay.
Oh, okay. It's right under the Moto G. No?
So my color scheme matches your this team.
Got it. Well, there's a long way to go for this one.
But I don't know about that, Jason, because that color scheme seems to be a very similar to a certain baseball team based out of New York City known as the Metropolitans.
I know.
I think that Mateo went with that as opposed to Boise State.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Brian, can you just type in Mets into Google and we could show you what that looks like?
Are we dueling for...
We might be dueling sports that no one cares about, especially on this show. There you go. I think it's a little more like Mateo's phone.
Because Mateo's phone doesn't have any white, and that Mets logo has a lot of white in it.
Yes, it's a black front on the front.
Oh, all right, there you go.
All right, well, it's a nice...
I have a feeling it's pure coincidence because these are sports I don't really follow much. I should educate myself.
Listen, Mateo, if you like being a guest on the show, I would advise you to learn about Boise State and then learn about the Mets.
All I'm going to say is that cricket bat just looked wrong and it was going too horizontally.
Oh, is that what that is?
Oh, I don't know if that's cricket. Interesting. There you go.
All right, cool. So Moto G, and I imagine you'll have a review on coolsmartphone.com sometime soon?
Indeed, yes. Very soon. As well as the Moto G, I've been playing around with Meizu M2 Note, which is their new Note device with a 5.5-inch screen, MediaTek octa-core processor, and their Flyme or Flyme operating system based on Android 5.1. So reviews coming up soon. I'm trying to use the devices in everyday use to get real battery life impressions. And
one device in each pocket, the way we all walk down the street.
Well, sadly, I've run out of pockets for devices.
You'll need to go to JackThreads where you can get some cargo pants.
There you go.
Where you can get multiple pockets, and then you'll be set. JackThreads.com.
I've had to put my Mockadile Cloud Nexus 6 on the shelf here.
You thought we were kidding about the Mockadile
thing. I just love it. It's got legs. I love it.
It does. It does. Right. Speaking of Mockadile, no, I don't know if there's any Mockadile in this next little reminder here.
If you're lucky, there will be.
Samsung, yes, maybe. It could be a big surprise.
Cross your fingers.
Samsung has their Unpacked event this Thursday, August 13th. at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. UTC. I'm going to be on set, so will Russell Hawley, as well as Nicole Lee of Engadget.
I'm very upset I'm missing it. I'm traveling at that time, like literally. Yeah, like
we would love to have you.
Leaving at 7 a.m., so I'm missing
you. You will be, yeah, that's, we're not Skyping you in from the airplane. So we're going to be on the set right around 8 a.m. Pacific when the event starts, actually a little bit before that, so we'll probably open up the stream early. So if you want to, you know, watch the Samsung event, the new Note is pretty much certain at this point, yep, and probably other devices as well. You should check out twit.tv/live. We will be here. Yes.
It's like Inception.
Yeah, I kind of can't concentrate. I can't talk right now because I see me from like a minute ago. Anyways, check it out this Thursday, August 13th. Myself, Russell Hawley, and Nicole Lee talking all about Samsung's new announcement at AM Pacific.
I'm bummed to miss Nicole. Say hello to her for me.
I will. Nicole's awesome.
Inception.
All right. Let's take a break. Why don't
another,
we do
another
that?
One? Another one? I don't have to have your foot in my face again, do I?
No, but you do have to play with some cool little bits right there. All this right. Episode is brought to you by Little Bits. You get to check out the Space Kit, Ron. That's what you get to do. If you haven't heard of them yet, Little Bits is moving electronics design and creation from the hands of experts to essentially everyone. Little Bits lets you use electronics more as like modular building blocks. These modules, which you can see right here, all snap together with magnets so you can create circuits in seconds. It's perfect for families, so you can build things with kids or kids at heart, coders, hardware hackers, makers, artists, designers, engineers, students, musicians, the whole lot. With Little Bits, you can get your dog to text or make a robotic snack server.
Oh,
you can do that.
I need a robotic snack server.
I know you've always wanted to do that. You can. Why buy electronic toys or gadgets? You can invent them with Little Bits. That's what this is all about. They're modules that range from very simple things like power, sensors, LED, to very complex things like wireless, programmable things, programmable bits. I mean, every box kind of gives you a number of components, a number of little modules, and they all have different functions. And you can daisy chain them. The magnets that are on both sides make sure that you don't connect them improperly. And if you do the right combination, they do cool things.
Magic happens.
Yes, exactly. Over 60 modules can be used in limitless creative combinations. You can come up with your own ideas. Obviously, there's also kind of a manual inside that'll kind of walk you through the different ways that you can use the Little Bits to stream together, you know, make a neon sign or a noisemaker or
a robot arm,
all this cool stuff. So this right here, this is the Space Kit. And, it was actually developed in partnership with NASA. And, you know, it's just kind of a cool educational way. You can explore Earth and space science. But there are all sorts of other kits. And so you can kind of take a look at the ones that that speak to you. For the Tinkerer, the Deluxe Kit actually includes 18 modules that snap together. So you can, billions of circuits in there. For the Musician, there's a Synth Kit. And it's kind of a modular analog synthesizer with all the components, oscillators, all that kind of stuff. So you can create your own synth instruments in some cases. For the Programmer, there's the Arduino Coding Kit that gives you everything you need to get started with electronics and programming. And, I mean, this is perfect for families because you can do it with your kids. You can show them what it's like to create electronics, you know, inspire their creativity. There's no soldering required here. So, you know, there's no way that you can kind of get yourself into deep trouble. What are you creating?
I got so excited. I broke it all apart.
It happens. It's exciting.
So cool. So I've got power, right? I got a little battery going into a power thing. And I'm going to put this switch on, this dimmer.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to put the speaker, and we'll turn this on. Let's get this jam going.
Uh-huh. Oh.
I don't know how to do that, but I just did that. So there you go. I don't know if you can hear that, but it makes noise. So cool.
An oscillator in there or something?
Yeah, maybe. Sure. Some sort of a solenoid.
Well, the beautiful thing here is that you've got a manual that'll walk you through all the different things that you can do and make with little bits. And, you know, if the circuit doesn't work, that's part of the learning process, to be honest. You have to kind of understand the logic that is involved in creating these circuits and, you know, closing them properly. And when you do, it's kind of like magic when you hit the end and you're like, hey, that worked. Little Bits is offering new customers $20 off their first kit.
Oh, cool.
Go to...
Tells you what level the dimmer's at.
Nice. Hey, check it out.
That's cool.
Excellent. Go to littlebits.com/android and you'll get free shipping in the U.S. That's littlebits.com/android. And if you happen to make something awesome, you can send it on Instagram to us. We can show it on the show in our Little Bits segment of the show. So this is really cool. I got to get one of these for my five-year-old. I know she would absolutely love it.
They're so cool. I need to get one of these for me.
She'd be super curious. So there you go, littlebits.com/android. Check it out for yourself. Now I have to peel it away from Ron.
What's great about these are they're safe, unlike when I was a kid and I took apart my my Apple II Plus. And...
You could zap yourself. You could burn yourself.
Yep.
You could zap and burn yourself.
Yep. Yeah.
There was some appeal to that, I suppose.
There was. That's how you learn. That's what my dad said. That's how you learn. You get shocked.
That's what we need to get. We need to get a shocker.
Yeah. We need
a little bit. All right. There we go. All right. littlebits.com/android.
So cool.
It's time for some apps. Let's take a look. All right. We probably won't spend a whole lot of time here because I just looked at the time.
I know.
Woo-hoo. We got to get to the arena. But before we do that, let's take a look at some app news. Google Hangouts for Android got a big update. 4.0 rolled out with full material design, more fluid movements and transitions, a floating action button for composing a message, a more streamlined contacts list, and a better system for attachments like GIFs. Emojis, multiple photos, location sharing, all that stuff.
Everybody loves the emojis.
Oh, yes, they do. Also, kind of a much requested feature, group MMS support, kind of, partially, and more to come. You can receive and reply to group MMS in Google Voice using Hangouts now, because Hangouts is obvious. It's the app that you want to use if you are a Google Voice user. Full support for group MMS in the future, in a future release. Android Wear support, so you can say, okay, send a Hangouts message, and it'll do that. Just a bunch of tweaks to make it run faster and perform better battery-wise. This is an update that we've been waiting for a little while, because... I guess iOS got Hangouts for like a month and a half ago. And people were like, seriously? They got it before we did?
Just curious, given the whole Apple-Google thing. Speaking of which, we've seen Apple kind of tinkering on the Android side of the fence. They first entered the Android app world with their Move app for migrating data from Android to iOS devices. But they'll soon be there with Apple Music, which was built on the Beats platform, which originally was available on Android. But recently, a new job listing at Apple has appeared for an Android application software engineer that explicitly states, we're looking for engineers to help us bring exciting new mobile products to the Android platform. What more could be coming? What Apple-made app would happen on Android? Would we get iMessage?
I don't know.
That podcasting app that apparently nobody uses?
Probably. Yeah, that's the one. They're like, here, this is what we'll get you, the scraps.
Podcasting one. There you go.
I don't know.
Safari?
What do you guys think? I'm not an iOS user. Have not really used it other than the iPad at the TD desk to assign cameras to inputs on the TriCaster. That's literally all I've done with iOS in my life. Either of you used iOS enough to know like what the great apps are? What do we want to see on Android?
Well, I mean, the biggest first thing that you're going to want to see is the iCloud expansion. You know, Apple has huge efforts spent in basically recreating, cloud services and making their entire portfolio of, kind of office-style apps available in Windows so that it's cross-platform. It really wouldn't shock me to see that also happen in Android.
Yet another cloud option service to join Drive and OneDrive and Dropbox and Box and all those. And because the thing is that if there are people who are using iCloud in the business scenario and then you want to go over Android, you're kind of out of luck. I could see that.
It makes sense with potentially a lot of users having an Android phone and, say, an iPad or a Mac for work. they might be wanting to serve that segment of the market who aren't really all in on one platform. They carry an Android device or a Mac tablet or laptop for reasons out of their control. So they're flip-flopping between the two platforms. And it would be handy to have iCloud sync between the two. It's just another option amongst the many users have.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see iTunes. I mean, I think that's an obvious one where they're selling music. And
they're already doing the music, and exactly. There's ties between music and iTunes on iOS.
I think that would be great because I could sync an iPhone or an iPod with my Android tablet or phone.
Yeah.
So run the full iTunes there.
Yeah.
And then from a test point of view, it'd be interesting to see how I can get crash logs off my iPod or iPhone and get them onto my Android device and then submit a bug report from there.
Yeah. Do we want iMessage? iMessages or whatever it is?
No.
We can no longer feel like we're in the shadows as green bubbles.
It would be nice
turn into blue bubbles magically.
I was gonna say it would be nice to appear as blue bubbles to no longer. I mean, Lord knows in the dating sphere, I've heard iOS when they get a green bubble, they immediately
my God.
As Mateo was pointing out, there are lots of blue and green bubbles.
Yeah, there's lots of different messaging apps on one of my phones. And this makes it slightly, let's put it this way, a drain on battery life if you have yet another messaging app to keep in touch with people.
Agreed.
So. Yeah, there just seems to be a lot of headache for Android, between Android and iOS, and a lot of people using iMessage because it is the iOS solution for that kind of stuff. So who knows, but Apple is stepping it up, apparently. This is a quick one, but I think it's interesting. LastPass is absolutely, it's the app that I use to manage all of my passwords. I love it. They've really done some great things with it in the past few months to make it work pretty seamlessly in the Android world. It used to be kind of a pain in the butt, and now it's super easy. For recognizing when a password needs to be entered in, depending on what app you're in, or if you're in the browser and you're on a site, it does it really elegantly. Well, now LastPass is offering users a choice. It used to be that you could get the desktop version of LastPass for free, and if you wanted mobile, you had to pay their super expensive monthly cost of $1 in order to get it on mobile. Well, now you have the choice. You can either have it free on desktop or free on mobile if that's where you can benefit more from having LastPass's free service. I still kind of recommend like $1 a month for the amount of use I get out of LastPass is awesome. Yeah. So highly recommend it. But this is a great way for you to test out if you've never checked out how much better it can make your mobile experience. And I can't wait to get the OnePlus 2 with the fingerprint scanner, fingerprint reader, because when you tie that together, it's magical. When I had the S6 and I had LastPass installed on there, it was like the best thing in the world to hit an app, need to enter in the password, bloop, authorize LastPass, insert it in. It was the easiest thing in the world.
Cool.
Totally takes the headache out of the whole process. So
LastPass is a game changer indeed.
I love it. Yeah.
You know what's also a game changer?
I do.
Our next sponsor, LegalZoom. We want to thank LegalZoom for supporting All About Android, and they've got a very important question I want to ask you.
What's that?
Do you want the government to decide what happens to your property and your children?
Heck no!
God forbid anything happen?
No!
Of course not.
No!
That's how you can protect yourself.
No.
You go to LegalZoom.com and make the commitment to protect your family and your valuables with a last will or living trust today. It's National Make a Will Month at LegalZoom.com. It's my favorite month of the year. And doing the right thing.
You have this on your calendar, don't you?
I do. I was like, I can't wait for National Make a Will Month. But doing the right thing has never been easier with LegalZoom. They've created a better way for you and your spouse to take control of your family's future. You want to check out LegalZoom's new Last Will and Living Trust bundles. The more you plan ahead with wills, trust, and power of attorneys, the more you save and the less headaches you have down the road. Trust me. LegalZoom's online resources and estate planning tools help you figure out what you need so you won't be confused by the many options they can provide for you. Or you get more specific guidance from LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys in most states, since LegalZoom is not a law firm. So don't procrastinate when it comes to protecting your family. Get legal help you can count on at LegalZoom.com today. Don't forget to enter AAA in the referral box at checkout to save even more. That's LegalZoom.com and enter offer code AAA. We thank LegalZoom.com for their support of All About Android and helping us protect our families and valuables.
Yes, I actually did this a few years back before I ever worked with Twit. So I got, you know, yeah, you got to take care of that stuff.
Got to do it.
I would not want to leave that in anyone else's hands.
And ask your parents if they've done it. And ask your siblings. Mm-hmm. And ask everybody. Got to make sure you're covered.
Yep. I'll be covered. Absolutely. LegalZoom.com, offer code AAA. All right. Are we ready? It's time to battle and see who won last week in the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right, Yoda.
I
gotta say, I was surprised by the results.
You were?
I was very surprised.
I kind of knew.
I didn't know it would be. Is this the biggest landslide we've ever had in arena history?
I'm not sure. You know, it's mellowed out a little
bit. It has. It was crazy earlier.
It was pretty crazy there for a while.
Yeah.
But Focus, yeah, it ran away with it. I mean,
really,
seriously, 68% of the vote, and this was with four apps on the show, so 68% of the vote against three other apps. That's pretty significant. Hotel Tonight looks like second place at 11%, and then Don't Touch the Spikes in Disneyland.
Yep.
Now, let me just say, I went into the arena with Disneyland, I was pretty sure it wasn't going to win.
Let's break it down the arena. On one hand, you have an app by some very, very good developers who are going to be on the show next week.
Yes,
right?
Next week. That's right.
That is very useful. That has to deal with their camera that you use all the other time. And the other hand, you have a branded specific app for an amusement park in one place in the world. So a very niche audience. Wide audience.
Absolutely.
Niche audience. Wide
absolutely.
Audience. Niche audience. So,
but sometimes you're willing to take the hit because
It's a cool app.
Because it's going to help somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I tell myself anyways. Okay, cool.
So I can relax now.
I suppose so. Yeah, you're going at the end here, which means I'm busy for the next three apps because I have all of the apps installed and I will show them off as we get to them. But because I lost like pretty significantly, I'll go ahead and go first. So let's see here. My app. So you may remember a few weeks back here. I'm going to try and launch. I have to log into it. You may remember a few weeks back, Google kind of showed off something called Deep Dream, which is basically how...
Which basically created my nightmares for the next...
pretty much. Sorry, I have to log in because I had it logged in on a different phone and not this one. So basically, what is Deep Dream? Deep Dream is a way for Google to... is basically how Google's artificial intelligence analyzes images to recognize patterns within the images. That's a very basic kind of explanation of it. But what it results in is image processing that's unlike anything you've ever seen, or maybe you've seen it by now, so you have seen it before. But it's really cool. Now, they've released the code for this, and people have started to kind of come up with their own implementations of it. And this is one called Dreamify. This is an Android app that allows you to process your images using Google's kind of Deep Dream approach. So let's see here. So down here, I have the different presets, and you can see some of them are a little like this one kind of has like a paisley style effect to it with how it recognizes parts of the image. This one kind of has, you know, it's called asphalt, whatever. This is the one that I really like. This is prismatic, and I like it because it seems to like find dogs in almost everything that you do, like in the patterns of your image, it seems to like recognize dogs. Oh, I ran a few through prior to the show. This is Burke standing in front of the Twit logo. And you end up seeing like all these little eyes and things like that because, I don't know, I'm not entirely sure why, but it seems to recognize different patterns. This is me when I was a kid at my kindergarten photo wearing a Playboy t-shirt. I'm not sure why my parents didn't realize that was probably inappropriate, but they didn't. But you can see down in the corner, like, there's this little building, right? So this is the unprocessed image, and this is processed, you know, recognizing patterns inside the image. I don't understand how it's seeing, like, this thing over here, this, like, monitor, so I'm not sure what that is, and this building towering up over there.
That's cool.
And it turns me into a scary being. But it's cool. It's totally unique, and it's unlike anything you've seen. So let's see here. So what I want, oh, and by the way, it has its own gallery. So as these images are being processed it shows all the ones, and I'm kind of I hesitate to scan too far through because people can literally upload anything they want. But you kind of get an idea for the unique style of images that can come through. So let's see here. So I'm going to go ahead and take a photo. And I'm imagining that this processing is probably going to take a little bit of extra time because what happens is you're taking a picture. Okay, I want you to, you know, I don't know how we make this weird. I want it to be weird. Okay. We'll see what this comes back with. Sometimes they end up coming back, and they, you know, you find like this ghost in the corner. Maybe
like
Russell's.
You mean like Russell?
Yeah, maybe Russell's image will end up being a ghost in the corner. So now it's pending. So basically, what it's doing, it's uploading the image to their servers to be processed through the system, and then it'll.
So maybe do we come back to this
pop
later
back
on?
Down? Earlier today, it really took like maybe a minute to process it. Okay. And yeah, I'm not sure. So we'll probably end.
It will be interesting. It will be interesting to see how it handles Morrissey.
It might refuse to process because of Morrissey.
It's probably a specific filter that you needed to use.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's a really cool way to kind of, you know, get a unique looking picture. Or if you've seen all of the crazy Deep Dream images and you want to try a few yourself. I mean, seriously, these things are just. Super
this
wacky.
Stuff in nightmares.
It's like,
that's just
this,
creepy.
I've
just
seen this in my dreams, and I never want to see it again. But here's
really?
It in my deep dreams.
Oh, there it is. There it was.
It was in the stream of gallery. Hold on. Oh no. Hold on. Oh,
I'm gone.
I love that Morrissey persists.
Morrissey.
Did we lose Russell?
But you. Wow. I think I.
It looks like there's a space-time anomaly on Ron's face.
Yeah,
no kidding. Your face turned into like a black hole or something.
Singularity just happened.
I think what this is doing, this is showing what really exists.
Yeah, this is my truth.
We don't see it with our measly human eyes, but this is what aliens see when they encounter us. Yep. They see galaxies in our face.
Like
So anyways, it's a really cool tool. It's called Dreamify. It is free. They are working on a premium version to bring more features. Seriously, look at.
So does everything does every photo you take go into their public stream?
Yes. Well, okay. No, you can opt not to.
Okay, you can opt not
to. So you can go to here and you can my images only.
Got it. Okay.
Now, I mean, it's still uploading to their service. So, you
but
know,
it's not going
you want
to
be okay
stream.
With the fact that you're putting an image out there.
Right.
So, you know, definitely, use some caution as far as that's concerned, but, oh man, this would be a good filter too, the iridescent globules. Anyways, I wish I could keep playing with this. I'll have to do it after the show, but, check it out. Dreamify, and it is free if you want to do some deep dream images of your own. All right. So let's see here. Russell, yours is next. I'll go ahead and try and keep up.
Mine is, Vainglory. Vainglory is... a long, complicated game that is just very, very pretty and a ton of fun. It is an MOBA-style game that you play entirely on Android. There is no desktop version of the game. You can go ahead and jump into a getting started or a practice match to see what's going on there. But basically, you play this kind of top-down character that you run around and level up as you go and play. And yeah, do the one with the giant robot, and it's just a ton of fun. But it is an absolute battery killer because the games are they're all online public matches, and so you're playing against other people, and the matches are often like a half an hour long. So you really have to sit down and dedicate some time to playing it. But when you do, it is really entertaining to kind of run around and. Level up your character and attack these other players. If you've ever played this kind of game before, it is strangely addicting to play this on a mobile device.
So I'm waiting. It's a little bit of a larger file initially, so it takes some download time and some install time. I think that just means it's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I mean it's a big game. The assets, the visual assets for it are pretty significant because, as you can see, it is a pretty visually interesting game.
So there's this is probably I'm realizing I'm playing it on a Nexus 5 screen, and you can play it on a Nexus 5 screen, but I can see how this would be a lot more engrossing on like a tablet or something would be really good. Yeah. Shop first, kill second. Well, I just want to kill. All right.
So it's very Heroes of the Storm-esque.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, yeah. Very similar to Heroes of the Storm in the way that the game gets played. And you're playing, you know, you're always online with other players that you're playing against. And it's got kind of a social aspect to it where you can go through and create lists of friends that you want to play with, and you can, you know, jump in group matches with them. And you know, in the same vein as the other games in this format, you've got, you know, these little characters that come along and help you as you fight, and you've got these special abilities down at the bottom that are unique to each character. So you kind of have to learn, you know, what the strengths and weaknesses for each character. And Jason's attacking his own base, which is cool.
Oh, okay.
So
keep walking. Keep going.
All right, I'll go ahead and leave those then.
Head to the red dots.
But it's, you know, I'm playing it for the first time. I don't know.
It's a free game. It's made by a company called Super Evil Megacorp.
Nice.
And really just thoroughly entertaining.
This would be really cool. Like Mars were mentioned in the chat room, it would be really cool with a NVIDIA Shield and a TV kind of combo, like get it up on a big screen. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I play it on my Nexus 9 all the time.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Get in there.
Am I doing this okay?
Yeah, yeah, do it again.
You're doing just fine.
You have an AOE.
All right, cool.
Area of effect.
So I imagine a lot of worlds kind of to explore in this regard. I mean, is this a game that you can
just one limited map, right?
Yeah, you've got this one map that you keep playing. The idea is to keep playing with the different characters and to work with different teammates to destroy the other team's base as quickly as possible.
I gotcha.
So it's like basically like an arena where you're, you know, you start on. So not like Capture the Flag-esque, you know, kind of in very basic terms, right?
Yeah, it's a base destruction. So you basically work your way through this map here to the other side, and you have to destroy the big shiny crystal in the other person's base.
This looks really cool. As someone who just recently got into Heroes of the Storm, this is kind of giving me the itch.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and the characters are incredibly diverse. Cool. They swap them out all the time with new characters. The way that the company makes money, you pay for like costume upgrades and stuff like that, which is pretty similar to what we've seen with other games in this particular vein. So it's really well done, I thought.
Cool, it looks great. It's awesome.
It's like Ingress for people who don't like to walk.
All right.
Awesome. So you mean I have to stop playing right now because I think I'm starting to get the hang of it.
I know, yeah. I started
a little slow.
You're playing against another character there. Glaivebot is attacking you.
Oh, Glaivebot.
Attack him.
Oh, hey, Glaivebot. How's it going?
There you go. Do it.
Okay, healing at base.
Glaivebot is a...
Get him.
Well-designed character.
There you go. You stunned him.
Yeah.
Get him.
Yeah, I did. That's because I'm awesome.
Kill him, yeah.
All right. I'm going to stop and play another time when we're not doing a show because I could continue playing. So let's see here. Awesome. So that is Vainglory. One word, free to download and get started, just the way that I was. Matteo, you are up next, and I have yours installed. I'll go ahead and show it off.
Great. Thank you. So mine's not so much of a game. It's a bit more of a utility. It's called Spider Oak. Now, for those of you who haven't heard about Spider Oak, it's essentially a cloud storage service similar to Dropbox, but it's focused entirely on encryption and the fact that they are a zero-knowledge company. So Spider Oak will allow you to set up a free 2-gigabyte account where you can store your files and content, and it's all encrypted data hosted by them. But Spider Oak pride themselves in stating that they have no access to your encryption keys. And once you've set your password on your device, whether it's a Mac laptop, a Windows laptop, a Linux machine, or your Android device, you essentially have complete control over the privacy of your files. And even if, say, authorities went to Spider Oak to try and get your data, they would be able to get the data, but no, Spider Oak wouldn't have any encryption keys to hand over because that's entirely in the control of the user. So 2 gigabytes are free, and you can use that on multiple devices. They also offered paid tiers, which go up to 1 terabyte for $12 a month. And this, for the privacy-conscious users, may be a useful service for storing your personal files and accessing them on your Android device. The Android app for Spider Oak is nice and light. It doesn't use up many resources. It's a well-designed, functional app. It's not super sexy. It doesn't use material design, but it does its job very, very well. And I was interested in this because of their encryption and the fact that it also syncs with my Linux box at home. So if you want to use the free tier, no cost for 2 gigabytes, but there are priced versions above that. And the Spider Oak came to prominence a few months ago when Edward Snowden was quoted in The Guardian as saying that this is like a very secure service and it's one of those services that authorities can't get into because of its security setup, just by the architecture of how the service works. If you have it encrypted on your device, if you have the service on your device and your data is encrypted, no one can get access to it apart from you. And when I recently installed the Android app on my phone, I was trying to remember my password. And it's not a traditional password reset service. I had to get a hint that I had given myself, but there was no other way to reset the password. So I had to go through multiple guesses based on my hint to remember my password. Had I not been able to do that, that was my data gone. So I wouldn't have been able to access that. So super secure cloud storage service. If you want something more secure than Google Drive or Dropbox, this is a valid service with a reasonable free tier for it as well.
Yeah, my apologies. I didn't go to the website to create an account. So what you were seeing in the app initially is kind of the instructions on how to do that. I'm happy you got your data back and you were able to guess it. I am very surprised, though, that your app had nothing to do with goats. So I went in and I found Spider Goat.
Ooh.
So, you know,
well done, Jason.
I'm looking out for you.
That's a bone we need to pick here. Now, you demoed Goat Z recently in the app arena, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you missed out one of the key features of Goat Z, which was crafting. Goat Z, as any modern game that respects itself, had crafting as part of the game. And I was a bit disappointed you didn't demo it. Well done on picking Goat Z. It should have been a winner.
It should have been a winner. I should have left it to you, to be honest. I rushed in, and I shouldn't have. Honestly, this game was yours, and I stole it from you, and I'm sorry.
That's fine. I'll just wait till the security-conscious version of Spider Goat reaches the market. So it's a totally encrypted goat simulator.
All right, perfect. The actual app is called Spider Oak. You okay, Ron?
I had really hoped we'd avoid the goats. We were so close to the end. Sure, there was a lot of mockadile, but you had to slip those goats in.
They've got to make it somehow.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
there we go.
Spider Oak. Cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, very. All right, Ron, what you got?
All right, my last app. I think one of my favorite developer groups in the Android world right now is Microsoft. They keep rolling out. I feel like every other week they roll out a new app. It's really cool.
It's kind of crazy.
And this time around, Microsoft Translate came out. I don't know if you've seen this recently, but they have came out with a – and I got the MHL thing in, so if you want that, Brian, you can see that. They've come out with a translator, very similar to Google Translate, for those of you who often use that. But you can either speak into something or type it. So I'm going to speak let's adjust the settings here. All right. And so you can allow to whether you can speak your translations and whether you want updates, and you can clear your history. So I'm going to say something. I'm just going to say, where's that restaurant? And I've chosen English and Italian, and it tells me...
Say, yeah, where is that restaurant?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. And so now you can into that thing, and it will... You got audio there, Brian?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dire dov'è quel ristorante. ristorante.
So if you're when you're in Italy or when in whatever country, you can either show the, your screen to somebody or
dire dove è quel ristorante.
What's really neat? What's really neat is that if there are certain phrases that you are often asking, you can pin them. So let's say I'm often in Italy, wandering, saying, "Hey, where's that restaurant?" I can go to the I can go to my pins and I can go right to it and
dire dove è quel ristorante.
All right. Mm. But the reason why I thought this is interesting and what the difference on I know is Matteo's cringing. Well, it's an app. Let's give a break there, Matteo. The reason why I thought this is interesting was that it actually, unlike Google Translate, it has Android Wear support. Which, if you want to take the overhead shot, so let's say you're on the streets of Italy. And you need a little help. You don't want to take your phone out of the phone out of your pocket. You can pull up the translator, and you just tap your phone. I'm going to say, "Where is Matteo?"
Dove si trova Matteo?
Matteo.
Isn't that pretty Matteo. Cool?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
yeah,
that's cool. It's actually translating, and you can pin it straight from the app. Or you can open it up on the phone. So you don't want to take your phone out and look like a total tourist. You can be a little Dick Tracy tourist and just say, "Hey, where's the bathroom?" Now, you do have to – that audio that was coming out of the phone. So if you do want to have the translation be spoken after you're talking to your watch, you do need to take your phone out. I don't have a speaker on my watch, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think any –
but
– do Android Wear devices have speakers?
I don't think so.
I don't know if any of them do.
It's a small speaker. Yeah. But – it's nice to not have that option and to be able to access pretty much the entire app from your phone. I can swipe right and I can get my recent ones, right? And then, or I can swipe left and get my pinned ones. So this one often comes in handy when you want to say dove il bagno, where's the bathroom? Yeah, so Microsoft Translate, not too bad. I will admit that it lacks offline dictionary support. So you do need to be connected to the internet in order to use it. So if you're traveling internationally, make sure you have an international data plan. I can't imagine that they're not going to roll out offline dictionary soon so you could use it in an offline situation. But right now it's got a leg up on Google Translate because it has Android Wear support. So yeah, if you're traveling, it's an interesting option. So
cool. Microsoft Translate.
Lots of languages, too. Lots of language support. So.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, Microsoft doing cool stuff.
I'm shocked.
I look forward to using that in China next week.
Yeah.
Nice.
You can ask where the bathroom is in China. Where's
Hopefully
the bathroom?
Hopefully we'll do a better job than where the restaurant is in Italian.
So what did it get wrong?
It just the grammar of the sentence made no sense. So if you use that with an Italian person, they would look at you strangely and walk away.
Well, is it because like, I said? Is it because I said? Hey, well, also it picked up me saying "say."
Yes,
so it probably
translated. Yeah, I unplugged the MHL. Hang on a second. You can see that. I think that's where the problem was.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
let's.
So if you simplify your sentences to it, I've played around with this app as well. Yeah. If you simplify your sentences, it handles it much better.
Yeah, because it says it got me saying "say." So let's try it again this time. Where is the restaurant?
That's much better.
That much better.
Dove si trova il ristorante?
There we go. So, and if we wanted to say, "Where's the bathroom" in Chinese? Or where's the restaurant? There you go. So
excellent.
Where's the bathroom? There we go.
Where can I buy lots of Android phones?
Cheap.
Everywhere.
So, yeah. Cool. Microsoft Translate. Free in the Google Play Store.
Nice.
Check it out.
Yeah. All the apps today are free.
Yeah.
There you go. Which is your favorite? Is it Dreamify? Is it Microsoft Translator? I'm speaking slowly for a reason. Is it Vainglory or is it Spider Oak? Is it one of those? What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I'm going to kill time while you do that. Yes. One of my favorite aspects of using Microsoft or Google Translate is talking to my phone like my mother when she talks to foreign people. She goes, "Do you like it here in America?" And for some reason, you got to speak very slowly and loudly when you're a 68-year-old woman talking to foreign people. She's a lovely lady, though.
Okay, for some reason, it's not letting me create it the normal way. So this is a different URL. You're going to have to listen to what I say. AAAPoll.com/226Real, as in like the real one. So 226Real. That just did that spur of the moment. It probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I'm sorry, Brian, because you prepped a URL in advance and it's wrong. But AAAPoll.com/226Real, and that should take you right there. It's also on the Google Plus community page for All About Android. Whew. Okay, we've gone long.
We have gone long.
All right, let's wrap this up. It's been an awesome show, and I'm super, super excited that we have Matteo and Russell joining us throughout the last couple of hours. You guys are awesome. Really appreciate you both coming on the show. Matteo, first you, coolsmartphone.com. What else do you have to promote? What are you working on?
Well, in my day job, I work for Skyscanner, the travel company. We currently have three good Android apps in the Play Store, and we have very nice responsive web pages. I've been working on the web a bit more than the apps recently, and one of the things I've been pushing is for, on Android, having the theme color and the favicon so that you can bookmark our website on the home screen of your device and have the web app perform almost like a native app in Android 5.0 and 5.1. So that's my day job. You can follow my writing at coolsmartphone.com, and I'm happy to engage in Android-related conversation on Twitter and Google+.
Totally.
So thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, always a pleasure, man. Always love having you on. Total Leo on Twitter and plus Matteo Doni on Google Plus. There you go.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And then Russell Hawley, always a pleasure. Of course, you and I are going to be covering the Samsung event on Thursday morning, and I really appreciate that. It's awesome to get you on that as well. Until then, what are you working on right now? Where can people follow your work, and what can they look forward to?
Yeah, you can find me. All of the Android-related stuff that I'm working on is going to be over at Android Central. And if you want something that's not Android-related, I wrote a super nerdy sci-fi book called The Space Monster Anti-Survival Guide.
Yeah, you did.
That is in the Google Play Store. It's $3, and it's all about monsters coming to Earth and killing people who have just really terrible habits.
Now, when is this going to be on Audible in audiobook form?
You know, I don't know. I tried to do it myself, and it turns out that's a lot of work.
It really is.
Like, more work than writing the book. So I'm still looking into that. It's something that I'm trying, and I actually had a lot of help from this audience as well. I actually had someone who listened the last time that I brought up the book, recorded themselves reading the first couple of pages and sent it to me. I was blown away by the support, and I've been trying to talk to that person as well. So it's something that I am genuinely trying to do.
Yeah, I can imagine that is so much work. I know from an audio perspective, cutting together all the sentences, out the you know. Man.
Can't even imagine.
Well, and I live walking distance from a major airport. And didn't notice just how big a pain that is until I went back and listened to myself reading a chapter, and I went, wow, 7 different times. That's cool.
Yeah, it's like you don't notice it when you live with it. When you, right. Exactly.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, Russell, always a pleasure. And I'm going to talk to you in a couple of days. Looking forward to
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Right on. Ron, what about you?
Cool. Real quickly, if you like to be in my nonsense, you can go to about.me/RonXO. It links to my Google Plus and Twitter and Instagram and all that fun stuff and see my insanity on a daily basis. It's not very insane. And if you want to hear more of me, you can go to ifanboy.com every Sunday. I am there with my partners talking about the week's comic books over at ifanboy.com, as well as movies. Me and Jeff Cannata talked about the horrible train wreck of Fantastic Four. So that's on there on the website, on the homepage, and on the feed. So you can check that out if you want to hear how bad of a movie Fantastic Four
is. I heard, really. Oh, not good.
You see, it wasn't technically made poorly. It was just, like, boring. Huh. And it was just, lacked any
not
magic.
Not what you want for a superhero
film. That's
though.
The worst kind of bad movie, if you ask me. I'd rather give me Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage. Bad movie. Like, lots of things to make fun of because it was bad. Uh-huh. But I still had more fun than a Fantastic Four because Fantastic Four was just lifeless.
Oh,
so that's the worst kind of movie. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Not good.
Sorry, I don't want to get off topic.
Brian, it's good to have you back, and I'm sure we won't see you next week.
Yeah. No, I think I'm probably busy next week, so don't worry about it. You know,
washing your hair or something.
I'll be busy. I'll think of something by then. I do a show with Padre. We just got back from Black Hat and DEF CON last week, so that was a lot of fun. We'll be talking about that on Know How this Thursday at 11 o'clock. But before I go, I still can't believe you haven't read this, Jason.
Shut up!
If we had a pick of the week.
Shut your mouth!
There's an audio version and everything.
I will do it. Jeez. Everyone, I promised everyone I will do it.
Can we make a gif of the moment that he had to reveal that he never read them?
Yes, I haven't read The Martian. All right.
Because we love... It's a really good book, though.
I know. Yeah. Everyone has to tell me how great of a book it is. I believe you. I will do it, particularly before I see the movie. I promise. That is a promise. All right. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell, my music, yellowgoldmusic.com. My other show is Android App Arena. It's twit.tv/arena. This week's episode, which will go live tomorrow, is all about SMS messaging apps.
Ooh,
so
kind one of my timely, favorite topics.
Kind of timely. So check that out tomorrow. twit.tv/arena tomorrow night. It'll post. And that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us on a pretty long episode. Voicemail can be left at 347-SHOW-AAA. We have emails that can be sent to aaa@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We're on Reddit. We have a subreddit at twitaa.reddit.com. We have show notes and past episodes. Always the full show notes. twit.tv/AAA. And you can always find our episodes on YouTube and iTunes and all other places. You can catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Oh, quit rubbing it in my face.
Jeez.